And joining us now is lecturer in international relations at Deakin University in Melbourne, Danielle Chubb, who has a strong research interest in the Korean Peninsula. Dr. Chubb, welcome to AM. What did you make of the agreement?
Good morning. Thanks for having me here today. The agreement yesterday, I think, as we heard in the packages leading up to this and in your intro, has foremost been described or criticised as being vague. I think that people are concerned that while there was never any expectation that this would lead to denuclearisation in one meeting, many had hoped that we'd at least see a timetable towards denuclearisation and perhaps some good faith accounting of what North Korea's missile count is, nuclear sites, you know, some kind of reciprocal concessions from the North Koreans. And we haven't seen that. On the other hand, I think it's also important to recognise that this is the very start of a process, that the agreement, while very vague and while not really including anything new in it, does show us that for the first time, perhaps in a long time, we've got a process being driven by the South Koreans, and we have the leaders of the United States and North Korea committing on paper to working towards the same goals. And that's, you know, I guess that's not nothing. It's the start of a process. Of course, the question is how, how likely are these leaders to have the tolerance and patience to ride the roller coaster of this relationship, which we've already seen since the summit was announced?
All right. You've studied North Korea for a long time. You visited there. Kim Jong-un is a dictator. He's murdered relatives. He was treated like a star yesterday. How comfortable are you with that, given what you know?
I mean, I think it makes everybody who knows anything about the human rights situation in North Korea deeply uncomfortable. And it is a lost opportunity that human rights don't seem to have been raised in any serious way.
Mr. Trump did say, though, in that press conference that he did raise the issue of human rights. He didn't go into detail of exactly what he said.
Yeah, when pressed in the press conference, he said that he had raised it. He said that when he was reminded that in the State of the Union, he made very much of the North Korean human rights situation. He had Ji Sung-ho, the defector there, Otto Wombia's parents. But when you look at his statements since then, his interviews post the summit, he seems to be saying, look, Kim Jong-un has a lot of legitimacy and support back home. Human rights there are bad, but they're bad elsewhere. So I think we have to be careful as to how genuine these conversations were.
Foreign Minister Julie Bishop says Australia will assess what we can offer in terms of expertise in verifying denuclearisation. Given what you've said and what a lot of critics have said about the lack of detail in how this will happen, how important could that role be?
Of course, I mean, Australia is cautiously optimistic, I think, of the words they're using, as they should be, I think. But yes, going forward, Australia's role would be in a verification process around denuclearisation, but we know nothing about what that looks like. There is a commitment in the agreement to work towards setting up a normalisation of relations between the US and DPRK, and one imagines that within that will include more negotiations, more meetings, and hopefully a verification process will become part of that. And that's where Australia will be able to step in. In the meantime, Australia needs to make sure it's talking very closely with our friends in South Korea as well as in the United States, because it's the close coordination of these two countries that is really crucial to the success of anything moving forward, given the vagueness of what we've got.
President Trump says he's going to end joint exercises with the South, pointing to the cost of it. How comfortable would Seoul be with that?
I think he's said that he would suspend the exercises for now, kind of a freeze-for-freeze deal, which China has been suggesting for some time. It's unclear at the moment, I think, how comfortable Seoul is with it, because it seems to have come to as a surprise to the US forces in Korea and to the South Korean Ministry of Defence. So there are certainly elements in South Korea that would be deeply uncomfortable with this, but there's also great momentum in South Korea for moving towards a changed relationship between the US and North Korea. Look, there's going to be parliamentary elections in South Korea next month. I think that will be a really big test of what South Koreans think about this.
All right, Danielle Chubb, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Thanks for having me.